Thanks, Marianne. I'm Doug. I'm an alcoholic and a food addict.
Thank you, Doug.
I have done this work as it's laid out in the Big Book with the help of a Big Book step study sponsor, Loving God. Have made all the amends that are available to me to make up to this point, and living in steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability. And I'm very grateful to be here, and because we met all the way up to 1 o'clock, I really didn't have much time to kind of collect myself at the end in terms of how I want to share, but I've certainly read and thought about this, and maybe I'll start with a joke. Just, I know Isabel likes my jokes, but this, and you know, I am a food addict, but a lot of my experiences around alcoholics and my own experience with alcoholics, and this guy was an alcoholic who was up in front of the judge to be sentenced, and so the judge thought he'd try to get to know him a little bit, and he said, "Well, tell me, sir, are you employed?" And he said, "Off and on." And he said, "Well, what do you do?" And he said, "This and that." He says, "Well, where do you work?" And he said, "Here and there." And the judge says, "I sentence you to jail." And he says, "But judge, when do I get out?" He said, the judge said, "Sooner or later." So step 10, the first thing that jumped out at me when I looked at when I read this is that, like so many of our steps, the directions, for the most part anyway, are in one paragraph. And I've often noticed that we may read, you know, like the portion on the resentment portion of the fourth step, but the directions, all that writing, sometimes hundreds of pages of writing, we're following the directions on one short paragraph, you know, and it's just amazing to me. And so it's the first paragraph, really. So we know the step, and I think Marianne read the step, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. And the first thing it tells us is we vigorously commence this way of living as we clean up the past. And this is a good section for, and I didn't, you know, I intended to write down the, and I didn't write down that definition for vigorous. So right there, I was not quite as prepared, but that there, you know, with energy would be one way I define it, with energy that we begin this way of life as we clean up the past. Now, there may be different interpretations, there are different directions that people get, but this tells me that we start doing this step as early as when we embark on the fourth step. And that's why the directions in Big Book Step Study are about reading 83 to 88 regularly or daily from the very beginning, because we're doing this as we begin our the house cleaning. And to me, it's very clear here. And also tells us, you know, our work up to now has led us that we've entered the world of the spirit, and that is certainly been my experience. It's not easy to define what that means, to say that I've entered the world of the spirit, but I have a sense of God's presence in my life today, and as I did the work here, and especially the third step, and we think about the third step promises and the fifth step promises, with six and seven, and eight and nine, that it has placed us in a position to have a connection with a higher power today. And it tells me my next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So each of these are very powerful sentences, and and that term grow is a key word for me, and here's why. I've often over the years heard people call these 10, 11, and 12 as maintenance steps, And that's appropriate, and it's a good description, because we talk about that this is, you know, as we read here, about the maintenance of our spiritual condition, that we rely on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And that's where the word maintenance comes. But others call these our growth steps. And that's where this comes from, that our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. So that's the reason we call this, or others call it, the growth steps. But here are our directions. It says, continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. This is so important to me. This was a real, my own insight, but certainly like no insight is it original in AA. But when I realized that the same four, or at least three out of the four words that I used to do all my writing in the resentment portion of the four step, which was, where was I? Selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened. Now we've changed the word self-seeking to, now we're actually inventorying resentment, but now it tells me to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear. And the same thing with 6 and 7. It all comes together for me that these are, that all my defects, and I guess this is my sense, my interpretation, that all my defects, and I could have a list of 20 or 30, procrastination always jumped out at me as one, but for me that's primarily fear, that all my defects can come under these four categories. And so that's why this is what I'm content, and resentment, it can also be considered anger. So all of these come under these categories. Then it tells us, when these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them. When I was new in recovery, everything that I heard about the 10th step was what I did when I retired at night. When I really got into the big book, and especially as we discuss it here, it was obvious that the directions for that when we retired at night is in the 11th step. This is telling me that I'm watching for these categories of selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear from the time I wake up in the morning to the time I go to bed at night. When these crop up, not, you know, when I have inventoried this at the end of my day, but no, when these crop up throughout the day, we ask God at once to remove them. Just as we ask that we are willing in the 7th step, that we're ready, and then humbly ask God to remove our shortcomings in the 7th step. We're doing this throughout the day as necessary. A term in another piece of AA literature is spot check inventory, and I think it's a good description of what we're doing here. It says we discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. Now, I've certainly over the years used a sponsor, but I will immediately say, because my wife is in long-term recovery and is the person nearest to me most of the time, and as long as it doesn't involve her or I feel like it might affect her in a negative way, she tends to be the one that I discuss things with immediately. And she certainly, I think, also uses me in that way. And as I said, as long as we have those boundaries, that has worked with success in my life. And I can't tell you how grateful I am for her own journey and the fact that she is here now. And then it tells us we make amends quickly if we've harmed anyone. So those are our basic directions, except for we've got to resolutely, and I did have a definition of that, I believe. Did I or not? Somewhere. Yes, and I like this definition. It says we resolutely turn our thoughts to someone we can help. it says purposeful, determined, in a purposeful, determined, and unwavering manner. That, in other words, there's some intensity behind that, not just a, you know, well, I'll just kind of be on the lookout for somebody to help. No, it's a little more intentional than that. It's a lot more intentional than that. And so this idea of this is so important, and I think most of us here take this very important, but because I'm around a lot of other people in recovery, and how am I doing? Good, perfect. I feel a lot of people are very unintentional, unresolute, unwilling even to really give any attention to those that we can help. And yet this is so important. It was drilled into me early on, and to the extent of my ability, I have tried to do that through most of my recovery, and that is to turn my thoughts to what I can do to help others. And then this next, and I thought I'd spend a little bit of time on this next sentence. This was really what I wanted to focus on, at least for a portion of my time, and that is, love and tolerance of others is our code. And so I'm going to go with the third one first, which is the word code. And it says a system of rules and principles. So again, that says to me something very specific, not haphazard. It's a system. There's intentionality in that, it seems to me, when I think of it as a code. Love. I'll never forget my old-timer sponsor. I used to go to a daytime meeting where I'd see him every week, and I adored this man. He had an enormous amount of influence on my early recovery that's never gone away. But at this meeting, the way this meeting would work is somebody would suggest a topic. It might be acceptance, it might be resentment, it might be serenity, various popular terms. And occasionally somebody would suggest the topic love. He would go nuts. He hated that. He just thought that was inappropriate, that, you know, love was not an appropriate topic for an AA meeting. Well, you know, I'm new, so I just list, you know, whatever. But how can it be inappropriate when here's the word right in our big book, and this isn't the only place? Of course it's appropriate, but I thought about it, and I ran across something recent, it might have been a cartoon, but basically it was saying, you know, the English language, as rich as our language is, only has one word for love, and that's love. If we go back to Greek and Christian, we have philios, brotherly love, we have eros, which is more sexual or romantic love, and then we have agape, and there are actually more, but those are the three primary ones. Agape, which I wrote down as the highest form of love, charity, the love of God for man and man for God. And you know, that is the first and second commandments are about, you know, love God, and then, you know, God is love, we know also biblically. So that's the kind of love we're talking about here. This highest form of love is our code. Love of others, love and tolerance of others, which I like to think of acceptance, but my definition was more like willingness to tolerate something, in particular the existence of opinions and behaviors that one does not necessarily agree with. That's pretty good. There was another definition, but that's a pretty good one. Again, to tolerate people who are different than me, to tolerate people whose opinions and behaviors I might not agree with. And that's now the place that I've arrived. With this is the code that I think I'm called on. This is part of my 10-step direction. This is part of the direction that love and tolerance of others is going to be my code going forward in the way that I live. So, and this in particular is how I start my day. I don't ask God, I don't state that sentence, but I ask God to make me a channel of His love today. And there are various times that I pray throughout the day where I'm invoking that idea that that God help direct me to be more loving and more accept. I tend to focus more on acceptance, even though it doesn't seem to be a direct synonym of tolerance, but to accept others for who they are and how they live, and especially when their opinions may be different than mine. So anyway, that was very important to me. And then the rest of this next section, I just basically have it all as 10-step promises, and they're pretty powerful. And I don't have a lot of time left. This very first sentence about we've ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. It goes on to talk about the fact that we've ceased fighting alcohol, but it tells us here that we've ceased fighting anything and anyone. And it's a very Christ-like way to live. It's the way St. Francis lived, at least once he, had his kind of his own spiritual awakening. Those are our, I think, our highest examples, not just in Christianity, but elsewhere. Our highest examples of living are those who have ceased fighting. And then I have a little note here, or controlling. I think that's because somebody shared that. But it tells us that sanity has returned. And the rest of this is all about this new freedom that we've experienced. And here it talks about a new attitude toward liquor, or, because we're an all addictions meeting, a new attitude towards numerous addictions that we faced and inventoried in our own recovery. And it tells us this is a miracle. And why is it a miracle? Because it tells us that this has come without any effort on our part. The gift has. We've certainly we've done our part. We have made that effort. But we're powerless over alcohol, and we're powerless over other addictions. So that power has come out from elsewhere, and certainly that's been my experience. And I just love this, that it tells me that I've been placed in a position of neutrality. These are all promises. I'm in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I've not even sworn off. The problem has been removed. It does not exist for me. That is a powerful gift. But there's one caution, and that's the last sentence of this long paragraph of promises, and that is how we're going to react as long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. And you know that, and again, this is repeated in the next paragraph, that what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So that's the other thing that basically, it's been repeated twice in two paragraphs. That's how I'm called on to live my life today, to maintain my spiritual condition from the moment I start the day with prayer, how I greet myself and others in my household, to how I live my life in the morning, how my life, today I focus on, one of the things I focus on, which I think ties, I hope this ties in, because I know I'm running out of time, is my building of character, and which I believe has to do with my spiritual condition. So I, So I ask God that He not only direct my thinking, but give me the direction to do the next right thing throughout the day. I'm kind of getting tongue-tied here at the end, so I think I've come to a place where I need to stop. But anyway, so that's enough out of me today. Thank you.
Thanks, Doug.
Oh, Lord.
If you are new to this meeting, please listen carefully.